Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
It's the Pound Puppy! Here's Cooler, Whopper, Nose Marie, Bright Eyes, and Howler.
We're Pound Puppies, we want to go home with you. Please take us home.
Hello? Shut the hell up. Jesus Christ, you throw me off and I'm trying to do the fucking intro. What the hell? Hello and welcome to the 53rd episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. And I'm your host, Steve Joe and Mike, and I'm joined by a bastard.
53 episodes in and I've lost my mind.
Oh god, hell, you lost it way earlier than that.
I watched it when you made me watch, never mind.
I didn't make you watch anything.
Sorry.
Besides, we're both going to have a hard time going through every single Scooby-Doo episode for episode 77. Yeah, exactly. Long live Scrappy-Doo!
Oh, shut the hell up.
I love Scrappy. Scrappy's awesome.
Anyway.
So, how are you, sir?
Well, besides the fact that I've apparently lost my mind, and the reason I lost my mind was because I had to watch all the episodes, all the cartoons for episode 52 that we did last week. That's what caused my mind to go. But, on a bright side, we have jumped from the 60s to the 80s, and that always makes me happy. No comment?
Oh, I'm chewing on a piece of chocolate.
Oh, Jesus. This guy has no podcasting etiquette. I'm just kidding. So what have I... Oh, that's nice. That's great. This episode is rated... No, I'm just kidding.
All of our episodes are rated at least quadruple X.
So what have you been up to lately besides eating chocolate and burping into the microphones?
Not much. I'll have to go back and I already mentioned this in episode 50. My cell phone just died.
Nice.
I was sitting here, a couple nights ago or whatever, watching TV, playing a game of Wheel of Fortune on my cell phone. All of a sudden, the screen stopped responding. Like, okay.
That was good.
Yeah, like, okay, because it's mainly a touchscreen phone. It only has the sidebar button, the volume buttons, and then the end send button. Mm-hmm. So it's mainly it's a Samsung Behold. It's not the Behold 2, it's the original one. Screen friggin' died.
Nice.
I hard reset it. I soft reset it. Did everything I could think to do. Screen just would not respond. I know I didn't drop it in any water. It didn't get flushed down the toilet. There wasn't any sticky ice cream in it or anything like that. Took it to the T-Mobile store and said, oh, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with the thing. Well, let's get you a free replacement. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, it's the same phone, but, I mean, hey, as long as I have the phone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's going on. By the time this episode airs, I will have finished this project, but I'm currently in the middle of doing, going through every single season one episode of Justice League and pulling out the best quotes for our recap episode over on Secret Origins, which records in 2 days.
Nice.
So yeah, I've got to do that. I've got a couple of good ones so far. Other than that, not much else is going on.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm still trying to get through all the G.I. Joe episodes, and that's an ongoing project, and getting all the characters and up in that. I have Transformers up to the second most characters on BehindTheVoiceActors.com. The only show that has more characters listed right now is fucking Pokemon. But I am going to go through and find all the guest roles from Transformers and make Transformers number one. Something I can't do with G.I. Joe. The most I can hope to get G.I. Joe up to is like number six, because there just wasn't as many characters on G.I. Joe as there was Transformers. But anyways, I'm a screen capping fool. And just regular fool, too.
That's very true. So,
anyway,
history lesson, take it away.
Alrighty then. Today's history lesson, like I said, we're moving it on up into the 80s for the first time. And, well, I guess we have done it a couple times since Hanna-Barbera, but it's always good to be in the 80s. Pound Puppies was a toy line, in case you didn't know that, sold by Tonka. I didn't know they were sold by Tonka, though, in the 1980s. It later inspired an animated TV special, and then an animated TV series, and then actually another animated TV series and a feature film. Shipments of the toys over 5 years generated sales of 300 million in over 35 countries. The puppies have a variety of plush stuffed dog, that's hard to say, plush stuffed dog dolls with floppy ears and droopy eyes. They came in a variety of colors, some with spots, some without spots. Each one comes in a carrying case with an adoption certificate, kind of like Cabbage Patch dolls. Smaller versions were also created, approximately 5 inches long, and a line of cats called Pound Purries was also released. Each authentic puppy had a heart-shaped emblem near its tail, or what I like to say, near its rear end, that sported a... it's always good to have a PP logo near your rear end. With either a dog or a cat peeking around it. In 1987, Hardee's... God, that's old school. Hardee's, yes, when they still existed, also offered a series of Pound Puppies with their children's meals. It has not been released on DVD yet, but the Pound Puppies trademark is held by Pound Puppies, Inc. And that does it for the history lesson. What do you remember about Pound Puppies, and it better be something?
First of all... You know how people always say they wear their hearts on their sleeves?
Yep.
These things wear their hearts on their ass.
And it reminds them that it's to pee-pee with.
Oh, God. Just pissing your heart away. What the hell? Oh, God. It's actually more of a recent memory. Unfortunately, I might have remembered the theme song when I was a kid, but... Back when I had Boomerang still, which should be a digital cable channel, should be just a regular basic classic cable channel. But anyway,
agreed.
They would run them, I think, every morning or every afternoon, and well, I remember the premise of it, and I remember Cooler, who was voiced by. None other than Dan Gilvezan.
Exactly.
Yes, and people are probably looking at their iPods saying, who the fuck is Dan Gilvezan? Well, if you didn't grow up in the 80s or the 60s, you probably wouldn't know him. He was the original voice of Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man and his friends, or Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends, or whatever the hell the name of the show was. And he also voiced Bumblebee / Goldbug in Transformers.
Don't ever say / Goldbug again.
I love Goldbug!
Don't ever say that.
I love Goldbug. It's much shinier.
So what the hell do you remember about the damn show?
Uh,
Nothing?
I've gone from just being plain old Bumblebee to a gold bug.
Oh, my God. Then that's what you shall be called.
Yes. I love gold bug. Anyway, I remember the fact that they always had these damn dogs dressed up. I think this was the first show that introduced people to dressing their dogs up in fucking clothes.
Oh, I'm going to have to like the show less now. Damn it. I actually remember the stuffed animals more than I remember the show. I had a big... I don't know what character it was or what the name of the damn dog was, but I had a big, like, gray dog with, I think, a couple black spots on it, and he was sweet because he was big, and you could almost use him as, like, a freaking pillow. But I remember the adoption papers and the carrying case and all that, and I and my sister had a different one. I don't remember which one she had, but all I had was one. I didn't have any other ones. I had some of the smaller ones. I think I had one big one and, like, two small ones, and that's all I had, but I really liked them. I would have, you know, if I was in charge of the spending in the house, I probably would have gotten more when I was a kid. But, you know, I remember the cartoon a little bit. I do remember the theme song. I remember the main characters. I remember the movie. I don't remember as clearly as I remember a lot of the other things in the 80s, but I remember being a fan for at least a short period of time, if not, a decent amount of time.
Yeah, this is one of those shows, again, that kind of Boomerang caught me up on. I don't really remember the toy. I don't remember the cartoon that much when I was a kid, because obviously when this came up, when was the cartoon on?
It was on in the 80s. I don't have a specific year on this one. 1986, 1987.
Yeah, that was Transformers time.
One reason why I don't remember it as well, but I will say that, to me, it's kind of like, you had a lot of these types of shows where you had, like, stuffed animals or something like that you could buy, or where you had, like, these adoption things, or they came in carrying cases, but usually they were all geared towards a female audience. You had the Cabbage Patch Dolls, but you had, like, My Little Pony, which was very similar, but mostly female. And I think one thing cool about this one is it gave you that opportunity, but it was more friendly to both male and female audiences.
Uh-huh.
Like, you didn't have to feel queer if you had a pound puppy. Whereas if you had a My Little Pony doll.
Yeah. No.
Anyway. So... I don't know, I liked it, but it was, you're right, it was coming out at a time when I was more into other stuff, so I probably watched it when it was on, but I didn't go crazy over it, because I liked other stuff better, but that's not to take necessarily anything away from Pound Puppies. I envision Pound Puppies being for, like, if you took people that were 2 to 4 years younger than me, I could see Pound Puppies being like Care Bears or Smurfs was for me.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you were at the right age when it came out, it was probably awesome for you. To me, it was not, it didn't come out at the right time in my life for it to be awesome, but I still liked it.
Right. You know, I'm just kind of scrolling down here through the cast and characters. This was probably the first
I will say, though, before you say that, that the cast for this is very confusing for a lot of people, because they had a special before the series started formally.
See, I'm just talking about the series. I'm talking about
But what I'm saying is the voice cast for the special is almost completely different than the voice cast for the series.
Right.
So a lot of people get confused as to who actually voiced who.
Well, Dan Gilbazan voiced Cooler. That's really all I care about. I didn't know, though, that Bright Eyes was voiced by Bart Simpson. We heard Bart Simpson's female voice, Nancy Cartwright, before we ever heard Bart Simpson in 1989.
Yeah. This cast is actually phenomenal.
Yeah.
Ruth Buzzi, who did Nosemarie, is... in my newly... I haven't done the 80s male voice actor top 10 list yet over at BTVA, but I did recently post the top 10 female voice actors of the 80s, and Ruth Buzzi is in my top 10, and she does Nose Marie. Like you said, Dan Gilvezan is Cooler. Nancy Cartwright, Bright Eyes, B.J. Ward, Whopper. I mean, this is a good cast.
Frank Welker was Catgut.
And he was actually a couple other characters, but I can't...
Well, I'm sure he was, obviously.
He's a couple other ones that I have up on his page, but...
Captain Slaughter that... Oh, God. Captain Slaughter was voiced by Cullen.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about the two of them, Peter Cullen and Frank Welker? The more that we do this podcast, and obviously this will kind of go away once we get into, like, the 80s and the 90s and the final episodes of this podcast, but there's so many damn roles that they just keep, like, okay, Welker aside, I mean, we all know Welker, but, like, there's so many damn roles that Cullen keeps popping up in that I just don't expect him to.
Yeah, yep, that's what I found out. Because he was one of the first pages that I tackled at Behind the Voice Actors, trying to get actual sound clips from all his different characters, because I was interested in how often you could hear Optimus Prime in him, and how, or if he changed it up a lot, and he actually does change it up quite a bit. So I was trying to find all these different sound clips and stuff, and I was like, holy cow, he does way more than I thought he did. I thought he was kind of like one of those guys, like, I keep bringing this guy up, and I don't know why, but, you know, Chris Latta didn't do a ton of roles. Obviously, he died, so he couldn't. But you know, he was one of those guys that just had those couple iconic roles. And I always thought the same way as Peter Cullen. Like, oh, he was Optimus Prime, and he probably didn't do much else. And that can't be farther than the truth.
Oh, I know it, yeah. Good.
I was just going to give a quick rundown, but for those of you that aren't familiar, Cooler is the leader of the Pound Puppies. And then you have... Nose Marie is the oldest female. She has good etiquette, kind of boastful. She kind of has a crush on Cooler and some of the other male dogs. Howler is the inventor of the Pound Puppy Squad. He's often kind of the crazy inventor guy. Bright Eyes is the young female. And then Whopper is the youngest of the main puppies. Obviously, there's lots of other puppies that come and go. But those are the main ones. And then you have the main antagonist of the show is Katrina Stoneheart and Millicent Trueblood, which they're always trying to... They run... I haven't watched the episode for a while because I didn't think I needed to. I watched them a few months
ago. Katrina runs the Pound.
Yeah, they run the Pound, and they're basically always trying to get the Pound puppies back into the Pound or trying to capture them, doing stuff like that. Oh, and Bertina. Sorry, that's Katrina's equally evil daughter. They kind of remind me of like Cruella De Vil and people like from 101 Dalmatians and stuff like that.
Yep,
that's kind of what I get from them. But you know, they were kind of creepy, bad characters, easy to hate. As far as the dogs go, my favorite dog, I'd probably say Cooler. But I liked Whopper, too, and somewhat liked Howler. I kind of liked them all, but Cooler was the coolest, obviously. It's in his name.
Yeah, Cooler was my favorite out of all the characters.
Yeah, my least favorite character was the humans.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I know that's easy to say, but they were easy to hate.
The girl was all right. The girl that was on their side, Holly, she was cool, but... As far as just overall characters, as far as voices go, Cooler was the best.
Yeah.
Plus, definitely. You know, Goldbug, so...
Shut up. Oh, my God. So, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of like one of those shows where there's enough characters out of the good characters where everybody can find their favorite, whether it was Cooler or one of the girl pound... You know, one of the female dogs. Sorry, that sounds funny to say. One of the female dogs, or you know, whoever it was. There was a little something for everybody, which is always good.
Stay away from that other term there.
Okay. I guess we can. I mean, do you have anything else to say about characters or voice cast?
No.
Okay. So I mean, there's cool characters, good voice cast. Going into the
behind the scenes, there is quite a few people that either directed or wrote on this that we have talked about in previous shows.
As far as the directors, I don't really recognize any. Well, Arthur Davis, I recognize him.
Carl Urbano has come up in a bunch of our shows. I don't remember which ones, but his name we've said quite a few times.
Yeah.
The main director was Don Lusk. But as far as writers, there's one, two, three, at least three main writers.
Yeah, there's three that I know. Tom Ruger, Earl Kress, and Paul Dini.
Right, and Paul Dini not as much, didn't do as much writing for this show, but Paul Dini is obviously a great writer. Earl Kress has his moments, but Tom Ruger is, I mean, this had
to be... Name Scooby-Doo, enough said.
Yeah, but I mean, this had to be one of his earlier roles.
Yeah, well, if this was in 86, 87, it was right before A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of in his early days, probably his... close to when he's getting into his prime. So that's, you know, the actual writing in this show is pretty decent. I mean, it's not like out of this world great, but it's not crappy. I mean, without watching the whole series, I can't speak specifically about it, but it's the writing is underrated. I think the writing is better in this show than people would give it credit for on just on like surface value.
Mhm. Oh yeah, no. I mean, you know, you got great people that wrote this. You know, Dini, even though he did two episodes, but I mean, you know, look what he would go on to do, Batman the Animated Series and all that stuff. So I guess we can go into the actual show, the TV special. In 1985, Hanna-Barbera made an animated television special, which aired in syndication that October, paired with Star Fairies. Oh God, thank God we're never even heard of that. But sounds like Tinkerbell inside of a Enterprise.
Oh God.
Characters in the television special included the Fonzie style leader Cooler, voiced by Dan Gilvezan, and the cheerleader Bright Eyes, voiced by Adrian Alexander. And the dog with a very nasal-like New York accent, known only as the Nose, voiced by Joanne Worley. And the goofy inventor, aptly named Howler, voiced by Frank Welker, who can only howl. A female dog from a wealthy aristocratic family named Violet Vanderbuck, voiced by Gail Mathis, is being pursued in dog nappers when she is picked up and taken to the city pound. There she meets the gang and discovers their mission to find homes for themselves. The film plot centers on Violet, whom Cooler insists on referring to as Sam, attempting to reunite with her family, ultimately succeeding. Two other dogs appeared in the special. They were the upper-class snob Barkerville, voiced by Alan Oppenheimer. Oh, that's cool. And the garbage-can-digging scrounger, voiced by Ron Palaio, who later appeared in the Season 2 episode Garbage Night, the musical. Oh, God. The three of them appeared briefly in a flashback in the episode Wagga Wagga Wagga. Oh, God.
The special is available on a DVD, which comes with certain Pound Puppy toys. The characters Bright Eyes, Howler, and the Nose / Nose Marie would be voiced by different actors in the regular series, although Adrian Alexander and Frank Welker would return as Bertina and Catgut. So there's where the main switches are from the special to the TV series. The special was a success. Hanna-Barbera gained the rights to create an animated TV series in 1986, loosely based on the special. The series was broadcast on ABC between September 86 and February of 1989. In this series, no mention is made of Violet's whereabouts. The series found itself under a lot of competition from competitors such as Fluffy Dogs, which I've never heard of, so it couldn't have been that could not have been that big of competition, which was a Disney show. Anyway, so, I mean, it aired for almost at least two full years, almost three seasons, so, I mean, it was successful enough to keep on the air. So,
right.
You know, not getting too far into it, but... I mean, do we want to say much about the individual seasons?
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, there's basically two main seasons. The theme song I did notice changed a lot. There's a lot of different theme songs and openings for this.
Yeah,
they change the graphics and the sound on it quite often. But I mean, any show that lasts for a second season has something to it. I mean, I know it was only 26 episodes, but I don't know. I'm a fan, just not a huge fan.
Cooler is where I draw the line with this show. I love Cooler, but other than that, the show, meh.
It's all right.
It's all right.
In 1988, TriStar Pictures released, and I remember this from when I was a kid, a Pound Puppies movie titled Pound Puppies and the Legend of Big Paw. And the film was panned by critics like most animated movies that aren't made by Disney or Pixar. Poorly received at the box office. Shoddy animation, character inconsistencies, and a color palette that differed from the show were among the chief complaints, which is stupid why they would do that. The movie was also not part of the show's continuity.
Which is stupid why they would do that either.
Yeah, fans were also confused by the apparent romantic pairing of Nose Marie and Cooler, which contradicted events that had taken place in the first season of the series. In addition, the movie is set in the 1950s with the story being narrated by Whopper, who in the present day is now an older dog who tells the story to his nephew and niece. Also, Katrina and Bertina Stoneheart, along with Catgut, do not appear at all in the movie. So I don't know who was in charge of this damn movie, but yeah.
This is like the biggest flop since they killed Optimus Prime.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm just saying it's the same thing, kind of. Going to the music segment, yes, you are correct, sir. There were like 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 different variations of the theme song. Surprise, surprise, Hoyt Curtin is the music director, music supervisor, whatever the hell it was.
Because this is a Hanna-Barbera show.
Yeah, true. Which is fine, I mean...
Yeah.
Whatever. Alright, so getting into the legacy segment. Yeah, this is going to be an awfully short legacy segment. Not on DVD.
You know, you can still... Pound Puppies did make a couple of different comebacks as far as toys go. I wouldn't be surprised with the recent trend where you've seen a new Strawberry Shortcake, you've seen a new My Little Pony, you've seen a new Care Bears. If at some point we see a new version of this, I wouldn't be shocked. But I think the toys is the main legacy here. The toys obviously came first. They were the most popular thing. They were way more popular than the cartoon. And, you know, I'm sure there's still big-time collectors of these toys out there somewhere, just like there is for most different toys that are out there. But,
yes.
You know, the toys are the legacy at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the show does rerun on, or it did rerun on Boomerang. I don't know if it does anymore. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see the show there, but... Unfortunately, it's not on DVD.
Yeah.
So I guess we can go into our final thoughts.
Yeah. I watched it. I was a fan. I had the toy. I remember more of it than I do some cartoons from that time. But you know, like you said, it was a time where there was a lot of other cartoons on that were more captivating and less. Like I said, you were at the right age for this.
Right.
You know, if you were at the right age, this was probably holds a lot of, like, a special part, you know, in your heart. Special place and all that stuff, kind of like Smurfs does or Care Bears does for me. But I was G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats, Silverhawks, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was moving on into that, so.
Yeah, pretty much. It's nice to go back, and like I said, you know, with it at the time being on Boomerang, it's kind of nice to see the stuff, but yeah, this is not one that I really, really remember, and a lot of people may ask us, well, why the hell are you covering it if you don't remember it? Well, it's one of those things where it's a, you know, it's kind of a fluke thing, where it's part of the 80s, and that was the original main concept of this show, that, you know, 80s and 90s cartoons, and then of course we expanded to include majority of the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s cartoons.
It's not like a show though that was not known. Everybody, you know,
oh, no, it's very popular.
Pound Puppies were popular, and we're trying to cover as many popular things as we can stomach. Without, you know, obviously there's some that were not because they're just completely
underdog.
Female.
Underdog!
But, I mean, this one definitely deserves an episode, and there is a fandom out there for Pound Puppies. Not a huge one, but there is one out there, and I think it deserves a show.
Yeah. I'm so tempted to put at the end of this episode that whole scene where Bumblebee transforms into Goldbug.
I'll kill you.
You gotta find me first.
I will send I'll send Underdog after you.
Yeah, right. Thank you for joining us here on Doom.
He'll make you eat an energy pill.
Thank you for joining us here on Doomcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show.
Underdog.
We're not counting anymore. That was last week.
Okay.
Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. There you can comment on each episode if you'd like. Join the forums, predicantempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRNToonCast. That's all one word. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K-Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast. Unless you'll join us when we will be reminiscing on Teddy Ruxpin. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo. Come talk to me at the BehindTheVoiceActor.com forums.
Yes. He's lonely, people. He doesn't have his gold bug anymore.
Thank God. I'm gonna take Goldbug off the damn page.
No, you better fucking not. Oh, kick your ass.
I'm just kidding.
Until next time. Wait, did I already say that? Hell, I don't remember.
Hey, you're listening to Tooncast.
I'm back, and now so are you.
I'm better than ever! Look at this new paint job! I've gone beyond being just plain old Bumblebee. I'm a gold bug!
That you are, Bumblebee. So from now on, that's exactly who you'll be. Gold bug.
We're Pound Puppies.
Cooler and the crew.
Whopper, Bright Eyes, Nose, Marine.
Helping Papa Roos.
Find a pup for you!
Pound puppies, I hate them, yes I do!
Ew, pound puppies, they're yucky, icky, poo!
Soon I'll catch every pup, and then I'll lock them all up! You pound puppies, your rebel days are through!
We're pound puppies, puppy mental boo.
Yo, pound puppies,
puppy power too. For every pup and pup that a happy home we will get. We're pound puppies, we wanna go home with you.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at BigAirUSA.com.